This is New Home Insights, the John Burns Real Estate Consulting Podcast. I'll be your host, Dean Worley. As the title promises, we're going to bring you insights into everything housing. Latest trends, innovations, observations, and issues of the day. We'll bring in colleagues here at John Burns and also some major industry players from all across the country. This podcast is going to be quick, fun, but also hopefully make you think. So see you here every couple of weeks. Now let's get to it. Okay, welcome to New Home Insights Podcast, the John Burns Real Estate Podcast that brings you the latest trends and changes and insights into the new home world. By the way, if I sound like weird, it's because I, like 800 million other Americans, I have a cold now. So if I sound funky, that's why. It's either cold or I have a hint of the Ebola virus. I'm not completely sure which, like pre-Ebola. I don't know. And that's a thing. Trust me. So
knowing you, Dean, it could be about anything.
It could be. You don't know. I say I'm under the weather, so I apologize. Today, though, we have two guests. Leslie Deutsch, who's based in Florida, and she does studies throughout the Southeast and really the whole East Coast and beyond in the country. Leslie, how are you doing?
Good. Hi, Dean.
She's with us here at John Burns, as is Pete Reeb, who's based in San Diego, and he works throughout the Western U.S. and beyond as well. Pete, how you doing?
Terrific. Thanks for having me on today, Dean.
Absolutely. Today, we are going to be talking about incentives, a four-letter word to our builder listeners, I am sure, for the most part, but something that we are seeing a lot more of, and we are pretty sure we'll be seeing a lot more of in the future. So, I mean, the market is slowing here in most markets throughout the country over these last few months, so we're seeing more incentives in the market. So let's talk about them. First things first, though. Let's to make sure we focus on and we all understand what we're talking about and kind of speak in the same language. Pete, just really briefly, give us a kind of a quick rundown of what we mean when we talk about buyer incentives.
So an incentive would be a special offer that a home builder is making to a prospective home buyer in one of their new home tracks to try to help to sweeten the deal a little bit and entice buyers to go ahead and buy that home. And typically, builders offer incentives to help control their pace of sales and to allow them to preserve values on the homes that have already been sold in the community. It's typically going to be some kind of feature that allows a home buyer to save money in some way on the purchase of the house.
And just to be clear, we're not necessarily talking about actual price decreases. Those might be happening, and we can talk about those in the same conversation, but technically we don't mean specifically price cuts, do we?
No, we're talking primarily just special enticements to get a buyer to purchase the house beyond just reducing the price of the house itself.
Right on. So let's get into it. So let's first just kind of lay the groundwork here with in your markets. And again, Leslie is kind of covering kind of the East Coast, Pete kind of covering the West Coast. I'll interject as needed. So we try to make this as national as possible. There's going to be a humongous variety of incentives out there. We can talk nationwide, but from what you guys are seeing in the markets you're working in, what are some of the most common incentives you're seeing right now these last few months? Leslie, why don't you start us off?
Okay, sure. So incentives in Florida and the Southeast and really across the East Coast have been pretty consistent. Most of the incentives are in the form of a certain amount of dollars off for your option spending or even closing costs. We are based here in Florida, so we do see some incentives from the builders offering some free country club memberships for a year or two, also some golf memberships as well. But generally, the builders are looking to match their incentives from other communities around just to kind of remain competitive. So it's a little bit of a competition here, but not necessarily a race. They're not going up very high. We see a little bit of discounting on inventory homes. So if a home is already built and they're trying to move it to sell it, there will be some of that happening. But overall, the incentives... they've remained pretty minor and pretty modest over the last year. They are starting to grow, but not tremendously.
So you really haven't seen that surge in incentives that some markets are starting to experience.
No, but I think one of the most interesting things that I've seen is a lot of the builders will say, look, if I have a qualified buyer, I may not be advertising any incentives, but I'm going to close this deal. So at the at I call it a hidden incentive, right? So at the table when they are they're working on the final price of the home, the builder's going to try to get them over the hump by offering some money off.
Yeah, I'm just curious. And how do you usually find out about that? How do you discover that kind of thing is going on at Builder X or Project X?
Right. So what we've started to see are closing prices that are lower than advertised sales prices. So in the state of Florida, they record all the closings right after it's done. And so we look back at the advertised sales prices and we can compare them. So we start to see that happen, a big differential. And builders are not really afraid to admit it either. If they've got someone that's qualified, they're going to keep them.
Yeah. Sometimes they are that. And sometimes I know I've found that asking the competition, the Builder X is asking Builder Y about Builder X, and sometimes they volunteer it. So, oh yeah, I've heard they're you know shaving $20,000 off that price in real life. Are they offering $20,000 in upgrades that they're not telling anybody publicly? Have you seen that? Right. Have you seen that kind of a thing happen? Have you used that tool?
Oh, absolutely. You know, most good new home sales agents, they're tracking their competition and they know what's going on. So yeah, they're a good source of information.
And those buyers coming in and mentioning, hey, well, what can you do for me? Because and who knows if they're completely honest, but certainly they'll tell on the competition for sure. So how about you, Pete? What are the most common incentive types you're seeing in your markets in the West?
Yeah, so it sounds like in contrast to what Leslie's seeing on the East Coast, on the West Coast, I would say up until maybe 12 to 18 months ago, the most effective incentives were offering buyers design center credits, maybe $5,000 or $10,000 for the buyers to spend on options and upgrades. But as home prices have continued to escalate, now, about half of the home builders that I've spoken to recently say the most effective incentive for them is to pay for closing costs. Given the high price of housing in markets like California, you know, your closing costs can be a significant outlay of upfront money. And it's hard enough for buyers to come up with their down payment money, particularly for an entry-level buyer. And so anything that saves the prospective buyers that upfront out-of-pocket money is very effective. Now, as interest rates have escalated, more and more builders are offering interest rate buy-downs. I would say probably 75% of the builders I've spoken to are offering interest rate buy-downs, typically in the form of a 2-1 buy-down, although one is offering a 3-2-1 buy-down.
And explain that real quick for our listeners, what we mean by that 2-1 or 3-2-1 buy-down.
Yeah, so in essence, the builder can pay the lender to reduce the interest rate in the first 2 or 3 years of the life of the loan. So a 2-1 buy down is going to buy down, say the current 30-year fixed rate is, just for simplicity's sake, 5%. A 2-point buy down is going to get you down to 3%. The 1 buy down is going to get you to 4%. So it reduces your monthly payments for those 2 years. And then the loan reverts back to the long-term rate after that. So what a number of builders have told me, though, is that although they're offering the rate buy down and some people are using it, it's almost like a teaser that gets the buyers in the door and gets them interested in the project. But then they end up going for the closing cost incentive because it just it saves them more money up front.
Yeah. Okay. But I think what the buy down does, though, is psychologically answers one of their biggest concerns right now is the rise in mortgage rates. And it's, at least for the first 2 years, it's back to what they were hoping it was going to be or even a little bit lower in some cases a year or 2 years ago.
Yeah. And interestingly, a number of sales agents have told me that today's buyers are pretty savvy about finance and temporary interest rate deductions versus long-term reductions. And a couple of builders, instead of doing the 2-1 or in addition to the 2-1, are also doing an actual life of the loan rate buy down, where they might buy down the loan a quarter point, in extreme cases, a half point, but it's much more expensive for the builder to do that. And so that kind of rate buy down isn't prevalent in the market today.
Okay. How about decreasing or eliminating premiums? In a lot of the markets, like in Northern California, for instance, you had, let's be honest, kind of fake premiums. You had really artificial premiums not based on a legitimate preferred condition for the lot, you know, oversized or adjacent to a park or whatever. Have you seen that start to go away? Or just flat out, even premiums that were legitimate were for an oversized lot, are they decreasing those? Have you found that as an incentive effectively? And Leslie, chime in here too, please. But go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, at this point, really only if the builders have gotten to the point where they have standing inventory and they really need to move that product. In my markets on the West Coast, that's really the main area where I'm seeing any kind of asking price reductions are on lots that might have very hefty premiums or on standing homes where the builder, because they didn't sell the house during construction, had to put in pre-selected, builder-selected options and upgrades that drive up the price of the house. So you might have had a $500,000 base price house with a $25,000 lot premium and $25,000 in builder pre-plots. So your asking price is $550,000, and maybe they've knocked $10,000 or $15,000 off that asking price. So it's still a higher price than a base price house, but not the full price that the builder would have originally been trying to achieve.
Gotcha. Leslie, have you seen any kind of tamping down in premiums as effectively a form of incentive in your markets?
No, not yet. So it's definitely a different market over here because I would say we don't see the interest rates buy downs yet. And we also have more of a push because we have so many retirees and second home buyers. The options incentives are much more desirable than the closing costs. I mean, we do, depending on where you are. But if you have a buyer that's cashing in on their house in the Northeast or in the Midwest, they're looking for those options incentives so they can spend more money on the inside of their house. So it's very interesting to hear what Pete's saying because it's a very different it's a different dynamic that happens in a lot of these markets in the East Coast. The lot premiums, I think, Dean, are a good point. They've been rising pretty rapidly, and I agree with Pete is that a lot of them aren't really justified, but they are being achieved. I would say that that's probably the next incentive that we'll see, but not necessarily happening at all today in the East Coast markets.
How about, I know that they're not technically buyer incentives, but how about higher broker co-op fees? And broker co-op is where you give a little cut to a real estate agent who brings in their client into the new home environment and they buy a house. They get a little something like 2%, let's say, or 2.5%. When the market was going nuts in a lot of these areas, you saw that start to, they didn't really need that kind of activity as much as they did. So they saw broker co-op fees start to shrink. Have you guys seen that, them come back or increase or as a form of incentive yet?
I haven't. And I'll tell you something interesting I learned today, actually, is we start to see a 5% broker fee and sometimes even higher percentage international broker fee because I'm based here in Florida. So to bring an international buyer, you get an even higher fee. So that is certainly starting to come back, not as advertised as other incentives, but clearly in the market.
Wow, that's 5%. Good Lord. How about you, Pete? Have you seen any kind of increase yet in broker co-op?
Yeah, so on the West Coast, a typical broker co-op, and just to back up, I would say probably a good 90% of all new home subdivisions on the West Coast are offering a broker co-op program. It's most typically 2-3%. Today, it's probably closer to 3%. Although I did talk to a builder just yesterday who has some $1.5 million homes. They've got some standing units. They are currently offering a $100,000 broker incentive to move product, which has brought in some good broker interest. So, you know, for the most part, it's 3%-ish. The highest we've seen is around 6% on high-end standing inventory. And typically on the projects that offer a broker co-op, the proportion of buyers that come in through the co-op program ranges anywhere from about 25-75% of all sales and averaging, you know, about 50%. So that's a big number to the builders.
It's a big part of their buyer profile. It's funny you say that, because I, same here. Yesterday I was in the market, and in a kind of a middle income sort of a market in terms of home prices, and one or two builders felt like they were going to have to start offering broker carp where they hadn't offered any, which is unusual. And another builder thought they're going to have to go from the flat fee they had been offering, because again, the market was going great, they didn't need it as much, to some kind of a percent of, in this case, probably about 2.5% to sort of match the market. So I'm definitely starting to see broker co-op increase. One more on, in terms of what the most common incentives are, just flat out, are you seeing any price cuts at all in your markets? I think, Leslie, I think the answer is probably no for you.
Not in my markets, no. Unless it's a poorly executed project that has to have a major repositioning. And there's not many of those, but there are a few. But that would be in any type of market. Yeah. But I have not seen price cuts.
Pete, any at all of those yet?
Yes. In my markets, it's primarily on standing inventory homes and nearly completed homes that the builders, they just got to move. They've got to close those houses and move on to the next ones. So I would say typically you're looking at maybe a 2-3% price reduction on standing inventory homes. And what happened was that in the first half of 2018, sales were really pretty strong in most of the West Coast markets. But then starting late summer, early fall, sales activity really started to slow, and particularly as interest rates started to rise. And a number of the largest builders had started building a lot of spec product back in the end of the first quarter and through the second quarter, that because of labor shortages and increased time to build and complete a house, they wanted to get ahead of their sales schedule so that they would have enough homes to close at year end. And then as sales slowed, suddenly the builders found themselves with some standing inventory. So unfortunately, that has driven some of those asking price reductions on those standing inventory homes, because there are more homes available now than you typically might expect. And you typically see seasonal slowing in sales activity at this time of year, which has happened. So you have the seasonal slowing on sales with more homes available. And so that's created a little bit of a buyer's market where, as you had said at the beginning, Dean, a lot of savvy shoppers are just walking in the front door and asking a sales agent, hey, what are you going to give me?
What you got for me today? Yeah, absolutely. And it really is a catch 22 for builders in that you know, everybody wants, most buyers want something that's fairly immediate, is move-in ready or close to it. But to do that, builders have to take a lot of risk by specing those homes. Let's move on to the most effective. So in your markets, you know, what incentives do you believe so far have been the most effective in terms of getting actual purchases?
I can start. So sure. The ones that I think that are the most effective are the ones that are clearly advertised. And I say that when you walk into a builder office and you get a sales office and you get a sheet that tells you exactly what your incentives are. In some of my older markets where I have a lot of older buyers, they tend to take that sheet around and shop it as like a coupon. I won't mention which markets those are, but you could probably guess in Florida, there's many of them. But
I'd say Florida, from my perception.
But, imagine that. But I think that the clearly advertised ones really do ring people in the door, and they like to see that and understand the deal that they're getting.
Okay. How about Pete, in the West, what so far has been the most effective? You mentioned maybe the buy down is more of a get in the door as opposed to being an effective sales tool. Does that sound right?
Yeah. So I would say it's a combination of having a very strong broker co-op program, especially in the very competitive market areas, to bring those real prospective buyers in the door. And then having, right now the builders are telling me that more of them are saying it's the closing costs that are helping to get people over the hump to save money up front. But of course, buyers are going to take anything that you're going to give them. And, I would say in a lot of cases, you end up getting a mix where the builder is going to cover your closing costs as well as a design center credit. And, you know, between the two of those, you get to kind of, you know, pick out your dream features and save some money up front. So it's probably the combination of those three things that are getting most of the buyers to go ahead and sign on the dotted line.
Yeah. I've always felt that the kind of the something off on options is, it makes sense that that'd be the least effective, because at the end of the day, what kind of options you buy are completely discretionary to that buyer. And you don't have to option up and really upgrade the heck out of your home. So getting a little something, something off the options to me just doesn't seem to be as effective as something like a closing cost or even a rate buy down. That's actually effectively putting money in your pocket.
Yeah, and I would say there's a big difference by price range as well, that in the entry level segment of the market, you know, probably 50% of buyers in a project aren't going to spend, you know, more than a couple $1,000s. Whereas in the $1.5 million price range, you might get people spending $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 on options and upgrades. So it really varies by price point.
Yep, definitely. How about, are you seeing any, I think I know the answers, but let's go over briefly here on this. Are you seeing any markets at all that have absolutely been completely stable over these last few months in terms of incentives? Lizzie, I'll start with you again, because I think the answer is probably yes, and quite a few. Is that fair to say?
Yes, except for this sort of events that builders will have or sales. But there are, it's been pretty stable here on the East Coast, but like I said earlier, I think that hidden incentive is really starting to come in, where the builder will make a deal at the table, at the bargaining table, right before the home is closed. So there has clearly been a slowdown in traffic and sales recently. And I think that's where the incentives are coming. And not to say we're not going to start seeing more and more incentives, and I do expect that. But right now, I think it's been relatively stable.
Yeah. And you haven't, okay, let's flip it. Before we go to Pete, have you seen a handful of markets where you have in the eastern part of the country where you have seen a fairly dramatic increase in incentives already?
For me?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds like
I have not. Not dramatic increase.
Okay.
I've seen competitive increases just a little bit here and there, but it's been relatively flat.
Okay. How about you, Pete? Are you seeing any, well, again, I'll flip it back for you, because I think here in the West, we're definitely seeing incentives become more ubiquitous in almost every market. Have you seen any that have kind of weathered that storm better than others and the incentives are still pretty modest?
No.
Okay, so it's pretty universal.
Bottom line, yeah, the markets that I work in, and I've talked to about a dozen builders in the last day or two, most of them are telling me their incentives today are about double of what they were at the same time a year ago. But that may not be as bad as it sounds. A year ago, a typical incentive in a lot of market areas was maybe $5,000, maybe $10,000. So today, instead of $5,000, it's $10,000. And yeah, that's, you know, 1% on a $500,000 house. And, you know, every dollar of incentive that you have to give cuts into your bottom line. But for the most part, you know, most of the builders I've been talking to, they're not really panicked at this point in time. They're saying, yeah, inventory's up, but the underlying fundamentals of the market with job growth is still really strong, and unemployment is low, and wage growth is good. And, you know, we think we got a little, you know, ahead of schedule on construction. So maybe we have, you know, a few more standing units than we would typically expect to have. But I'm not seeing a lot of sort of panic incentives where you're giving away the farm, with the exception of maybe one or two pockets of really high-end housing where you have a lot of competition and a pullback in foreign buyers. And there's definitely been a pullback in foreign buyers in some Southern California markets. And that's where you are hearing some of the, you know, $100,000 to $200,000 on a $2 million house. But it's still pretty rare to hear about that. The vast majority of incentives in my markets are in the $10,000 to $30,000 price range on, you know, $500,000 to million plus value homes, maybe up to $50,000 at the most, at the $1.5 million to $2 million range. Although, like Leslie said, I think there is also the kind of wheeling and dealing that'll go on that is not advertised that a builder might be willing to do to get that year-end sale.
Yeah. And let's remember, when we're talking million, 2 million, you know, that's the ethosphere for the vast majority of the country. So we're kind of, but I, unfortunately, we only have so much time here. So we didn't have a whole bunch of folks. I mean, John Burns has folks all throughout the country who can talk about the middle of the country as well. Leslie, have you done anything in some of those other markets outside the East Coast? Are you familiar with some, how they're doing, say, in the Midwest or the South Central or Texas or so? Can you speak to that at all?
Those incentives are increasing. I think the way Pete put it is very, very similar to what we've seen. They have not gotten so large. I judge it by when they start offering the free pools. Then you started to see on the car that comes with the house. That was back in 2008. We saw those. It has definitely, and Pete, I can even attest to a lot of markets in Texas and Florida as well, that see that $10,000 to $20,000 range, which is off of a $300,000 to $500,000 home. So very similar in percentages wise to what you were talking about. And I think it's very similar across the country, but you're right. Like the lots are probably next to come, and the, you know, cars and pools. That's the indicator that there's a problem.
Well, okay, let's segue that into, where do you see incentives heading here in the near future? Here, up, down, stable? In terms, kind of a pure quantitatively, where do you see incentives going here?
I think it's going to be a mix. I think some markets will stay about flat from where they are. Depends on the supply in the market and the demand, obviously. But overall, I would say an increase, but probably in different forms. Some options, some closing costs. I think that will you'll start to see a little bit of an increase over the next year, especially with our interest rates going up like we saw today.
Yeah. How about you, Pete? Are you seeing, where do you think it's going? I mean, here in the West, we've already experienced a lot of it. Are you still going up more?
Yeah, I would say it's kind of a good news, bad news story. I think the good news is that, you know, we're already more than halfway through December, and shopper traffic levels and sales activity typically starts to rise starting the end of January, and particularly by the time we hit February and March, you should see rising interest in housing purchases. So that should take some of the pressure off of the builders, you know, need to incentivize to increase sales activity. The bad news is that incentives are very prevalent today, and it is somewhat difficult once the incentive train gets rolling to slow that down. So I think today's incentive levels are going to carry over into the January-February period. But once the builders are able to burn off some of their standing inventory, that's going to help the supply situation some. Plus, I know a lot of builders have slowed down their speculative building, so that's going to decrease the supply. And the other good news is that, you know, as things have slowed, we're starting to hear that the labor issues are being alleviated a little bit. And so, you know, more normal construction cycle times might start to come back to the West Coast markets. And all of those things will help take some of the pressure off the need to offer incentives. So I don't think incentives are going to rise in the first 6 months of next year, but I think we still have a couple of months ahead of us at current levels.
That's a great point, by the way, about the kind of the incentive train gets going. I mean, it kind of becomes kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, because buyers think, I'll wait for the next increase in incentives or decrease in actual pricing, and it'll kind of sap any urgency they might have had.
Yeah, for sure, because they'll look at the incentive being offered on a standing inventory house and say, well, I don't want that house. I want this one over here in your next phase, but I want the same incentive. So, you know, a lot of builders are going to capitulate and say, yeah, okay, we'll do that for you.
Yeah, definitely. So That's incentives. To just kind of give a quick recap, looks like there's a pretty clear West Coast, East Coast divide, and that West Coast has faced more severe incentive, more incentivizing, both degree and commonality. And the East Coast is still fairly normal from perspective of the last few years. But Leslie does see it possibly edging up a little bit. Pete sees the West Coast maybe edging up a little bit, but it's not sort of panic time, or at least it hasn't been panic time yet. And that, we'll see. Again, it's a situation where it can get slippery real quick if things do start to get out of hand. And buyers have never been more savvy. They've never had more information. They've never had a quicker and more complete access to information. So we'll have to keep that in mind going forward. Thanks, guys. Say bye.
Thanks, Dean.
Thank you, Dean. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks again, guys. This is Dean Worley for the New Home Insights podcast. We will get you next time.